approaching 9:30 on a Monday morning gives me an opportunity to welcome in members of the staff of the City of Bartlesville, and in with at least the microphone pointed more at him than at the other two, City Clerk Mike Bailey. Good morning, Mr. Chief Financial Officer.
Good morning, Charlie.
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
Once again, you got the B crew here. Ed couldn't make it again, so.
What is his? Never. I'm not going to ask it on the air.
We'll make him. We'll bring him in next time, even if we have to wheel him in.
I will hold you to that.
Okay. We'll bring him in on a dolly if we have to.
Oh well, with or without his dolly, I guess as long as he makes it in, we're okay. But first of all, I guess thank you for coming in this morning with the update of what's going on within your city government.
Well, we always appreciate being here, Charlie. It's a great Monday morning. We've got a lot of things going on in the city of Bartlesville. Typically, we have way more than we can cover. We've got half hour with you every couple of weeks, so we have to boil it down. And today, we thought we would start with some really exciting stuff.
I hope so.
We've got a report from the Government Accountability Office.
The GAO.
The GAO. Federal. It used to be the Government Accountancy Office,
but yes.
Apparently that didn't fit what they wanted to do, so they changed their name. The city of Bartlesville has long been sort of locked in a struggle to get affordable water pricing through the Corps of Engineers, especially.
I seem to have visited this topic with you and others a number of times.
In fact, I would say it goes back to
Our current city state senator was a freshman city councilman, I believe, at the time.
Yes, I believe you're correct. So it really does date back. The latest step.
Shower
in
with
this,
a bucket. Yeah.
There was some advice about putting a filled up gallon of water in the back tank of your toilet, so you'd use less water. Of course, it didn't flush anymore.
Therefore, you use
details.
Less water.
Yeah, yeah. Details.
Yeah.
So, but the latest development is that the city of Bartlesville, through the efforts of some of our elected officials primarily, was able to get a report done through the GAO on the Corps of Engineers. We had hoped that it would focus primarily on the pricing structure. The report was a little more broad-ranging than that. And Terry Lauritsen has sort of coordinated this effort for the city of Bartlesville, so I've brought him with me, and he has the riveting, how many pages is that, Terry? It's pretty lengthy, but we will I don't believe it's on the City of Bartlesville's website, but we will certainly make that available for anybody who is interested in the full report. But with that, I'm gonna turn it over to Terry, and he can have a little summary of it.
Okay, the man with Bartlesville Water Utilities lettered on his shirt this morning.
Yes.
Good morning, Mr. Lawrence.
Yes, thanks. And to say that I coordinated this report is just a complete falsehood. I had nothing to do with this report.
I told you not to talk about my life.
I'm simply just a witness to this travesty here. But back in 2014, our state delegation, which is Senator Inhofe, Congressman Bridenstine, and Congressman Mark Wayne Mullen, they, in conjunction with some other representatives, petitioned the Accountability Office, the Government Accountability Office, to conduct a study of the Corps and looking at the issues related to water storage pricing, the pricing formulas, pricing variability, and other matters pertaining to reservoirs built and managed by the Corps of Engineers. And so that was back in 2014, and here in August of 2017, almost three years to the month
it
later.
It is now September. That report may have been published in August. Go ahead.
Yes, September. Okay. Thank you, Charlie. Okay. We do have the result or the report from the Government Accountability Office, and I'll skip to the conclusions, and then I'll give you some filler on what they did find.
Okay.
But the GAO, in essence, came back and says that we cannot finish any of the items that were requested because the data varied too much as far as the Corps houses data in a database, a central location. And there were inconsistencies or there were variations in how they tracked their data for them to perform any analysis on that was requested from not only our legislative representatives, but also other states' representatives. So
I certainly hope you will elaborate on that.
Yes, and so the GAO recommends that the Corps go back and review the data and how it's stored and how it's recorded, and that's in essence it. But some of the meat of the information is that the Corps operates and has over 340 contracts for municipal and industrial users for water storage, hydroelectric, and other related type of uses. And so it's not like there's millions of them. There's just 340 nationwide. Most of these are located in what they call the Tulsa District. So in Oklahoma, Texas, and Kansas has the majority of these lakes that result in storage pricing with it. They did go through a bit on how the rate structure is organized as far as the laws that pertain to that. And in essence, what that is they take the price of the cost, or they take your proportionate share of the cost of the lake. So let's say that on a lake that cost $1 million to build, and we are contracting for 10% of that storage, then we are responsible for 10% of the cost of that lake. And so that's how they figure your proportionate cost for the lake. So they take that cost, they add the interest rate back to when the lake was put in service. And so, like for example, Hula was put in service in 1958, Copan was put in service back in 1983. And then they also add the cost of the operation and maintenance back to when the lake was first put in service. And they add all of that plus interest to your cost to contract for storage. And that's the reason why the cost is so excessive, in our opinion. So they take the original construction cost, the operation and maintenance cost, they add interest back to when the lake was put in service to, in essence, say that you participated in the and all the costs of the lake back to when it's originally it originally became the lake, and that's kind of the basis for their pricing structure for the formula.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, not all of the lake is used for water storage. You have most of the lake is actually what the Corps qualifies as water quality as opposed to water storage, right?
That's correct, but they consider that a beneficial use of the lake. So while it doesn't actually benefit us for water storage and flood control, that structure provides all of that, so they don't separate each use individually based on either water quality, storage, or flood control. And both Copan and Hula were built primarily for flood control. Mm-hmm. That's really their main function. To be quite honest, the results of the report were disappointing. We were hoping for more. I know that our legislative leaders have, as far as Bridenstine, Inhofe, and Mark Wayne Mullen, they wrote a letter to the Government Accountability Office and expressed some concerns that they had with the report and some of the things that they would like to see contained in the report. And so I think we're all a little bit... just a little bit frustrated, I think, is at least my reaction to it. We were hoping for more. We were hoping this would be kind of the step that would lead to maybe a cursory review or more detailed review of the pricing formula that would result in potentially a savings for Bartlesville in our effort to contract with the Corps for additional water storage rights at Copan or potentially Hula and Copan in the future. So it doesn't appear that the report is maybe the segue that we are hoping it would be. We're going to continue our effort. We still are engaging a lobbyist through Capital Ventures. Council approved a contract with them last month to continue that effort to lobby and to try to get maybe some language in a bill or some form that would provide some relief from a storage price perspective for us. So we are continuing on that effort. That's one of the things that I think will be essential for us long term. Even with water reuse, we're still looking at getting additional water at either Hula or Copan in the future. So this is an effort that we'll continue to work on and hopefully make some strides, some more tangible strides here soon.
Baseline effect, if I'm hearing what I believe you said correctly, we're back to where we were then when we made the request in 2012?
Yeah, I mean, from all intents and purposes, there has really been no progress.
Now, I was hoping I would draw a different conclusion.
Yeah, I think it's more maybe Congress is more aware of the issues. Potentially that information has progressed much further than has ever been. People are maybe tuned in a little bit more as far as some of the issues that are out there with it. We're hopeful that this still can be a springboard to get either language in a bill or some form to get some price relief from it. And it may be this was the first step that had to take place just to give some context to it and maybe some awareness on both in Congress and potentially with the Corps and other agencies that are involved in that formula structure.
Okay, well, so at this point in time, I guess the good part is that it is back in Congress's viewpoint, in their ballpark, I guess, for lack of a better
term. Yeah, it is, and we do rely on Capital Ventures to provide some direction on the next steps. You know, what's typically the way that this will navigate through Congress or through the various groups that that have input with it, and so we'll rely on them to help guide us on the next steps and whose door we go knocking on to continue this effort to get some relief.
So at this point in time, is there anything that the individual customers of Bartlesville Water can do other than to make their views known to their elected officials?
Well, they always have that right and that ability to do so. We do have other plans and other things in place to move forward with water supply, long-term water supply, and that's what we're focusing really on at this point, and that's with water reuse, and mm-hmm. that seems to be very tangible for us. It's really a state-controlled issue, so we have much more influence on how that tracks, and everything really looks very promising for us to continue forward on that. We're doing the engineering side of it and the technical piece of it to make sure that we're doing it in a responsible manner, both for our safety as well as for the environmental safety aspect of it. That will be completed probably around July of next year, and then at that point we'll be able to move forward with whatever the findings end up being with it, and really secure a redundant water supply for at least the next 15 years or longer, which gives us time to work the federal angle of it, which will take some additional effort and coordination to move forward with.
At this point in time, then, it's also something that we can look forward to the process moving forward with right now looks as though water levels at both Hula and Copan are good as we enter into fall and the winter season when we typically get less rainfall.
It is, and it's really normal levels that we see this time of year, and people really don't think about it, but December, late fall, winter is really our driest time of the year as far as precipitation mm-hmm. and runoff. So we are looking good. There's really no impending concern of us at this point. So we're tracking that. We continue to track that. But it really takes is about 6-9 months worth of drought, and we can be in an item that we're really preaching conservation and things to for our citizens to do to kind of conserve that precious resource.
On the water reuse plan, and I realize that because it is a state issue, the deciding agency is closer to us. That's one thing. But it's something that this territory that really hasn't been trodden through in the state of Oklahoma, right?
That is true. It's been done in 9 other states, so it's really not new technology or new rules or regulations in essence for it. But in Oklahoma, because we are such a rich resource for lakes, it hasn't really been an item that was necessary. And now with some droughts and some other environmental issues, that has become something that has been looked at and I think deemed to be necessary to move forward with and get structures and rules in place to facilitate that type of activity.
But we're probably not the only municipality that's thinking about this course of action.
No, I know of at least 3 others. Norman's the largest one that's really actively engaged in a reuse type of activity. Lawton was another one. And those are the 2 that I know that are really active in moving forward with that. But I think there's a lot of communities out there that are interested in it and really kind of seeing how the rules end up being formulated to determine whether that's something they want to move forward with and spend money to try to enact.
Okay. Well, I know you have reported on the water reuse plan on previous programs, and listeners can check the archive on our website, bartlesvilleradio.com, and you spent quite a bit of the program a couple of weeks ago really talking about that technology. So,
yeah,
we can move on from that. But again, people can check the archives if they want to find out more about that. Thank you very much.
Yeah, so, and if there's questions, they can always feel free to call my office, which is 918-338-4116. And I'd be happy to talk to him in detail about what we're doing and how we plan to potentially implement it.
Okay, thank you very much, Water Utility Director Terry Lauritsen.
And Charlie, we really do appreciate all of the assistance that we receive from our elected officials. They are 100% behind this. As Terry indicated, they were a little disappointed in the results from the report as well.
And paraphrasing what comments I've gotten from elected officials in previous interviews, I think I can say that they do want voters to communicate with them on the issues that are important.
So absolutely.
If this is an important issue, I'm sure those three individuals would want to hear from the voters.
Yep. So we really do appreciate it. They've done a great job for us. And now, switching gears a little bit here, we have City of Bartlesville's planning director. She's also in charge of park planning and a few other things, maybe janitor, community development.
That would be the
it's only for me, though.
The inimitable
Lisa Beeman.
Yes.
Madam Beeman. So we thought that, Lisa, we've got several things going on with TIF districts right now. There are actually three of them that are being either amended or created. Those are all being considered right now by the TIF review committee. The council had heard them, had recommended the review committee review them, and then remand it back to council for action. And Lisa is the coordinator for the city staff
as the financial professional. Before we get to Lisa, because I think this is a question that probably you may be the better person to address it, the review committee, as I remember it, is made up of the individual taxing districts that would be affected by a particular piece of property.
You're exactly right. So any taxing agency that'll be impacted by a TIF district has a representative on the committee, and then there are also three at-large members. So it's a really good committee. They're very thoughtful, very deliberative. We always kind of enjoy being part of it to see the different viewpoints that are expressed, but they typically do come to a good consensus on these TIF districts.
Okay, so thank you very much for that. Lisa, good morning. Thanks for coming in.
Good morning. A little bit about the TIFs we have. We actually have some TIFs that have been in place for some time.
Yes.
We have six active TIF districts right now. And what people, I think, might want to know is that a lot of times people will be critical of how many TIFs we have, but it's not about how many. The state law puts limitations on cities in creating TIFs, and there are other restrictions in terms of value that is linked into the districts that are created. But one of the keys is that you cannot have more than 25% of the land within the city limits. That's the maximum you can have in a TIF district. And while we have six current ones right now, that only comprises 2 acres in our city. I mean, not 2 acres, 2 square miles. 2 square miles.
A little different.
Yeah, very different. And we have 22 square miles within the city limits. So, you know, we're 10%, or actually, when you get it out exactly, we're at right at 8%. Of our entire acreage that is within the city limits that's contained in a TIF. And we've actually had two districts that were created in 2005 that have actually paid off early and have now been closed, and those ad valorem taxes that were created by that new development are now going to those various taxing entities. So right now we have, of course, we have the downtown, we have two TIF districts in the downtown area, the downtown commercial and then the residential one that's just east of it. We have the Wayside area one, which is a housing development over north of Wayside Elementary School. It has actually just 3 years before that TIF district can expire. And then we have two that are kind of, then we created the Silver Lake Village, which is our commercial one at Silver Lake and Adams. But we have two that we're kind of working on now, and one is called Bartlesville Retirement Community. It was created back in 2009.
Right.
And it never took off. It never started
Max
construction.
Max Lutke and Tulsa area developer came to the city about that one with a planned retirement community.
Right. And so for various reasons that never took off. And so now they're back again asking for that district, TIF District number 7, to be terminated mostly because it's too far into the time period to amend it and make it work. So, and recreating another TIF district, which we call TIF District Number 12. It's still basically the same thing. It's still, over the years, the value of it has gone up. So it'd be a $65 million development that would have two phases. The primary development in this project is assisted living and memory care for seniors, for the retirement community, as well as independent living and some single family residential. So the city is being asked to assist with the financing of the public infrastructure improvements. And of course, those are things that once they're built, the city takes over and owns and maintains those into perpetuity. So that is actually what's going on with District 7, which would be terminated, and the creation of 12. The other one we have right now is Bison Trails, which is TIF District Number 9. That is for the Bison Trails apartment project that is actually on Nuwata Road, north of Nuwata Road and west of Bison. And that actually was created in 2014. We're going back. The proposal is to add an additional 7 years to that. We probably don't need the full seven, but because we're 3 years behind in getting it started, we need to extend that out so we can cover, you know, the financing of the project. It's actually a $25 million project. Actually, it might even be worth more than that now that we've... but it will build apartments in two phases. And the first phase, there would be... there's a total of 292 dwelling units, and the first phase would have 158 dwelling units that would be built. And again, the city would be providing funding to help pay for the installation of the streets, sewer, water, and storm drainage, which again are inevitably going to be ours and we'll own them. Mm-hmm. So after phase one, and that has to be done by the end of 2019, then he would begin phase two, and we would again participate with infrastructure financing. And then the second phase is an additional 134 units for a total of 292. So those are what we have going on now. These go to the TIF review committee. The taxing jurisdictions are the County Health Department in Washington County. The city is also a taxing jurisdiction, Tri-County Tech and Bartlesville School Districts. So we met last week and we'll meet again this week. The committee has recommended approval of the 7-year extension to the Bison Trails TIF number 9. That will go forward. And then they will do some more study on the termination of 7 and the creation of 12. And that will happen this Wednesday at 3 o'clock p.m. in the second floor conference room at City Hall, the TIF Review Committee.
Okay, which of course you can find out more information on that with the agendas always posted online at cityofbartlesville.org. So this is something that the process goes on, and those TIF districts either age out due to the lifespan that was originally created with them, or they pay out early.
That's right. And the committee typically likes to make sure that we would prefer more TIFs, more small TIF districts that pay out very quickly. So while we could have one huge district or three huge districts, that's really not been the way we've approached it. Generally, we like to see smaller ones pay out.
Pretty narrowly defined.
And one of the things on these TIF districts that I think is worth clarifying, I know we've talked about it several times, but the public doesn't deal with it as often as we do, and I think we tend to forget that they forget exactly how these work. But a TIF district captures taxes from within that district. So if I'm going to do a development...
And only on the improvement.
That's it, only on the improvement. So whatever taxes are already due on a piece of property, those continue to be paid to the jurisdictions. And the TIF, the committee's number one responsibility is to determine that this development wouldn't happen without the TIF funds. So in other words, if we didn't capture $1 million in taxes, that the development wouldn't have happened, and therefore the $1 million in taxes wouldn't have existed. That's really one of the major focuses of these committees. So I know at times in the community, well, we don't want our money going to do that. Well, it's really not the community's money. It is the money from within the development. The developer pays the taxes, and then those are given back to them in the form of an incentive, without which the development wouldn't have happened.
So. Well, we've got about 5 minutes left to go. Let's switch gears a little bit to some of the upcoming developments. And I know people see you know, things continuing to go vertically in a couple of locations, including over at the Eastland area and, of course, along Adams Boulevard and other places.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. Our building inspectors and officials and plan reviewers are very busy. Starting at Silver Lake Village, TJ Maxx, Ross Dress for Less, Petco, and Ulta actually are all stocking right now and hiring and plan to open soon. We've got permits are issued and construction has begun to some level on Kay's Jewelers, Maurice's, GNC, Rack Room Shoes, and Great Clips. So that would leave us with three open spots in the main center. And I do know they're working on it. They may already have tenants. We just haven't received plans yet. Panda Express is the first of the three restaurants out in front of that. It's the eastmost, right as you come in the main entrance, and I understand they're pouring the slab today.
Okay.
So they're getting started. At Eastland Shopping Center, I think they poured the slab for Chick-fil-A over the weekend, and the walls are going up.
Mm-hmm.
So I did understand from the contractor that once they get started, they will move very quickly. Hobby Lobby has been working in the old Atwoods, and they have started stocking and training their staff, and so they hope to open soon. We do not know exactly who will be going in the old Hobby Lobby, but I do know the owner is actively looking at leasing it. The old Stage Store is going to be Planet Fitness. They have a permit to kind of do the demo inside and then rebuild it. Other things happening, some people have asked about what's going on at Highway 75 at Nebraska on the north end. That's actually Lock Supply is relocating up there. They're going to have a nice new building, and I'm very excited for that. We have plans for Brahms, a remodel at the Adams Road store, and a new Brahms on South Highway 75 where the old car wash was.
I would say basically across the street from the current Brahms
right.
there.
Yeah. Chicken Express is actually going in south of My Dental. We're looking at plans for Fast Lane convenience store, kind of a truck stop at Frank Phillips Boulevard and 123. Be a nice, replacement of the 66 station. And finally, we have, as you all know, read in the paper, Popeyes is looking at the old Sooner Motel.
Mm-hmm.
And we have had additional restaurant, dining, and entertainment businesses that have talked to us about locating either in downtown or other locations in town. So
but at this
things
point
are
in
happening.
Time, you're not at liberty to discuss those brand names because there's no paper signed.
Right. I wouldn't want to get in trouble for that, so I have to keep quiet. But good things are happening. The Bartlesville Assisted Living Center, south of Price Road, south of the mall, actually is under, I think they're doing their grading and getting going, but there'll be 57 new assisted living and memory care units in that location as well.
Real quickly, Lisa, we've got about 2 minutes plus. What's going on with the tree situation?
We actually did, for the first time, I think it might be, we actually have a formal tree plan. It's a 20-year tree plan that we had a consultant do, which is actually a forester that used Chuck Parkin, used to work for the city for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
Very bright man, knows his trees. So we actually have a 20-year tree plan. As you know, we've lost a lot of trees, especially in Johnstone Park and other areas, because of weather and ice storms, things like that, just old age.
I would say part of those are just old, that the trees have reached their lifespan.
Right. So this is a plan very specific to each park and type of tree to start reforesting where we've lost those trees and make sure we keep the parks to the same quality of life we have now.
And of course, the city has a tree ordinance, so if people are planting trees on their home,
in front of their, in front of their house,
you know,
on the right of way,
measure those 15 foot or whatever is appropriate for those clearances so that you don't have to have PSO trim the tree for you.
Right. And we'd be happy to have someone come out and talk to you. If anybody wants to plant trees on their property, we encourage that. We want to do what we can to help that. If there's ever any questions, someone needs help, they can always call me at 918-338-4237. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Bailey, we have about 1 minute for any kind of a financial update that you may want to give or other city business reminders.
Well, we've had sales tax through September.
Mm-hmm.
We are up a little bit over last year. We started out doing pretty well this year. Things have slowed down. The good news is that we really anticipated that things would be slow all the way through December. So we're a little bit ahead of budget, a little bit ahead of last year, and we're hopeful that this is going to be sort of a turnaround year. You know, the local economy, it impacts retail spending tremendously. And of course, nobody's ignorant of what's going on in the energy economy. So just hoping for a little stabilization there, and that'll result in stabilization, hopefully, of the city's key revenues and the services that we provide to our citizens.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for the update. Terry Lauritsen, Lisa Beeman, and Mike Bailey, thank you so much for coming in this morning. And it is a City Matters program on AM 1400.
Thank you, Charlie.
K1. For residential and commercial plumbing, call Mason's Plumbing, where serving you is their priority. This is KWON Bartlesville and 93.3 FM K227CQ Bartlesville.
CBS News.